Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. Today it is Monday, February 12th. Tim always likes to give the date. I like to as well because I can lose track. I am joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Glad to be on and looking forward to what we're going to cover on today's issues today, hoping that we can help edumacate. Or no, that's Friday.
Edumacate,
sorry.
Yeah.
Is that Friday? Sorry.
But we edumacate all week
long. Still okay.
Yeah.
Still edumacate.
Yeah. All right, and then Fred Jackson is joining us.
Yes, try to help out the team here.
Yes.
We need all the help we can get.
In fact, you were just telling us, I hope I can share this.
Sure, go.
You're on kid duty today.
That's right.
And
yep.
Nothing tests the mental strength of a man than being in charge of the kids.
That's right, all day. Yeah, so I'm balancing between my wife, Chelsea. She's out of town on a work trip, and therefore I'm stuck being mom and dad for 48 hours. So far, so good. No hospital visits. No, I can't think of anything that's going necessarily wrong. I think there was only one area in which we skipped yesterday, which was naps. That was on the list today. We just skipped them. I wanted to trial and error, see if they went to sleep quicker.
Yeah.
And it worked. They went to sleep quicker.
Oh, at night.
Yeah, at night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we skipped nap time so that they go to sleep. It worked, okay?
Earlier, it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just ask you one other thing. Now, people don't know this about you unless they're close enough to you to
sure.
know. But Chelsea does not like pizza.
That's right.
You do.
I do.
So in terms of what the family eats, you rarely get to have pizza.
That's right.
So you were in charge. Did you order any pizza?
Tonight.
It's happening.
Yes, sir.
Fist bump. It's happening.
Yesterday, she had already had a few things set out to eat and or, you know, to warm up and cook and all that. So we went with the plan that she gave us. And for dinner tonight, there's nothing on the schedule. So it's going to be, now there is, it's going to be pizza.
All right, man.
Appreciate
man
it.
After my own heart.
Appreciate you checking on me.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Fred. What was it that something happened last night? I can't remember. What was it? Something seemed like there was something big last night.
Yeah, speaking of pizza, it was probably the busiest pizza night of the year.
Yeah.
Sure. Super Bowl. And a full confession, I've sat in for Jenna Ellis this morning. Full confession, I did talk about the game, but I did not see the start of the game. And I went to bed because I didn't see the end of the game either.
Well, you get up at 3 or something.
Yes. So I needed to get a few hours of sleep.
Yeah.
But I did see the betwixt.
Yes.
That's
what
right.
was in
the
and you're Canadian, so yes. we cut you some slack.
That's yeah. Right. And it was a really good game.
I watched the whole thing only because I knew we would at least mention it today.
Sure.
Yes. So, you know, Wes, I didn't want to be a hypocrite here. Mm-hmm. But it was a really, really good Super Bowl.
Well, and I mentioned to the folks on Jenna's show this morning, any sport, whether it's hockey or football, that goes into overtime is a credit to both teams.
Yes.
In other words,
right.
they're evenly matched.
That's right.
And it was. I mean, it was a battle of the quarterbacks, as usual, and two terrific quarterbacks.
And two good defenses, because we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers 25-22. I was rooting for the Chiefs simply because as a Rams fan, lifelong Rams fan, I never root for the 49ers. But now we have folks here at work.
Yes.
I know Jody Brown, who works mm-hmm. with American Family News. He came last week all decked out in his 49ers jersey.
Yes.
I was pulling for the 49ers as well. So
yeah.
It was a 3-point game. There's a 3-point difference in the game. So it was 25-22. Chiefs won. And it went into overtime, as Fred mentioned a while ago. And as far as what I expected out of the game, it was exactly what I thought when it comes to the performance on defense, the back and forth. There was never a point at which, even though there was a 10-point lead by the 49ers at one point, everyone knew that it was going to be come down to a very close game.
Yeah.
And it did. And, of course, it went into overtime to get the win. But I enjoyed watching it. There was if it's okay if I mention this about the Super Bowl ad. I know a lot of people that are listening saw the ad that depicted a confusing version of the gospel. What was the name of the ad?
Oh, He Gets You.
He Gets You.
It's a series, yeah.
We won't get into that at this very moment, but I want to let our audience know that we are working on a response to that, and we'll send that out in an email form and then possibly even cover it throughout the week if we get an opportunity on today's issues.
So for folks who did not watch the Super Bowl either this year or last year, because they ran one last year as well, but this is I think, billions of dollars behind this He Gets Us ad campaign. They have ads on billboards around the country.
Right.
They run ads online if you're streaming, or these ads will pop up if you're just online,
yep,
doing a Google search or whatever. This is a series of ads. I'm just going to say, this is my opinion, these ads come from a leftist, progressive, quote-unquote. Tim always likes to do air quotes around progressive because it's not really progressive. Abe Hamilton calls them regressives. Evangelical perspective.
Hmm.
So these ads say He Gets Us. And the ad last night, which I if I recall, was 60 seconds long.
That would be about $14
million. It was $14 million. Yeah. And someone sent around, maybe it was you, that sent around a meme that someone sent out. It showed Jesus feeding the 4,000 and said, "Well, sorry, I can't feed all of you. I spent $14 million on a Super Bowl ad." These ads do not present the gospel. All right, they are now, a lot of Christians like these ads, but it's because they're viewing it from a Christian perspective.
Sure.
Okay. And what this ad last night did is it had all sorts of individuals who are generally would be seen as on the fringes or despised, and someone washing their feet.
Right.
Okay. Now, of course, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as a way to show how he was washing them of their sins, and he is serving them,
right,
and they are in turn to serve
others.
Christ's church.
That's right.
Okay. There is another example of someone washing the feet of Jesus in the Gospels, and that was a woman who had been forgiven of her sins,
yeah,
washing the feet of Jesus with her hair. Okay, what we're saying is all of these ads, which are not always about foot washing, but all of these ads that say He Gets Us are intended, I'm assuming, to communicate to people that God knows what they're going through.
Yes, and
I'm fine with
it. It stops there, though.
But it stops there.
Yeah.
What does it say?
So it stops there, and it does not provide or encourage or share any testimonies of the people that are on their fringes that would have been despised of having a conversion or a life change. Obviously, as it results to someone getting saved, there's a variety of different. Some people get saved and they stop stuff immediately.
Right.
Others need counseling over time. But the idea of a Christian getting saved always results in a life change.
Right.
And in this case, they don't provide that. They leave them in their sin the way they are, and they don't provide that in the actual commercial that's there. So knowing that and having people already, there's a lot of really strong, solid biblical teachers and commentaries that are what do you call a commentary?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Commentary. They are
commentator.
They are already responding to this on social media, and obviously in favor of what we're saying now, us in favor with them. And so we are working on a response to this as well that we will be sending out in an email form.
Right.
The group that sponsors obviously has a lot of money, $14 million for a one-minute commercial.
This, we have Jameson Taylor, who's heads up as vice president of AFA Action.
Right.
We've turned him loose. He's really good at sniffing out information and finding. We're trying to find out who exactly is behind this group. Now, if you go to their website, there is not a clear presentation of the gospel there either. Okay, so, but my understanding is there are hundreds of millions of dollars behind this campaign. When it started maybe 2-3 years ago, I heard the number $1 billion thrown around.
Wow.
So we're trying to find out. There are all kinds of people saying it's this person, this family, this group. We're trying to get to the bottom of that before we start throwing names around. But
and one more thing on this from my perspective is that either last year or the year before, there was a pretty good push from people that what we would consider in our camp that would say, well, they're getting people to the website to share the gospel. Okay.
Right.
Well, first of all, we can disagree with methodologies. I disagree with that anyways,
right.
Because it was because you're deceiving people to get to anyways. But when you go to the website, it doesn't share the gospel.
Right.
So that's out the window. So I would say that we're getting further and further down the road on this, whoever's behind these ads,
yes.
they're becoming more and more exposed. And it's becoming more and more obvious to almost every Christian,
right,
Bible-believing Christian, that this is not a complete picture. It's incomplete.
Well, and part of the problem with this, like, I agree with you and disagree with the methodology, but part of the problem is if you put an ad there and the conclusion is, and it says, Jesus did not teach hate.
Yeah.
He gets us, okay? All right, so how do you define hate? Are you talking, because there was an illegal immigrant getting off a bus,
yep.
somebody washing her feet, okay? There was a homosexual on the beach and a priest washing his feet. There were several different things there. And so my question is, if your methodology is to tell people Jesus gets you and to get them to the website, what if they don't go to the website?
Right.
Then what message do they leave with? They leave with the message that tells them Jesus gets you. He understands you. He accepts you as you are.
But you don't.
But the gospel says he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you that way.
That's right. Yep.
And that message is completely absent from this series of ads, which goes back a year or two. So anyway, we are working on a response. I think Abraham Hamilton III is going to be talking about it. Anyway, lots of people already are discussing it. And let me just, one final thing on this. When we talked about, I've seen Christians saying, oh, I had tears in my eyes when I saw that. Listen, I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But you're looking at the ad from the perspective of someone who already follows Jesus. You are looking at this ad as someone who has an understanding heart, has received compassion, and that touches you. But you know what? That's because you have a converted heart.
Mm-hmm.
For the people whose hearts are not converted, no one's pointing them to the way of salvation.
That's right.
And that's the problem we have with it.
Yep.
All right.
100%.
So anyway, that was good. I'm glad we talked about that. There are a lot of folks
discussing that. I knew that a lot of people that in our listening audience saw that or are seeing responses to that, and I wanted people to know we're working on something too.
Yeah. All right. We'll turn from the Super Bowl and he gets us to other news that's going on, Fred.
Yeah, other news. I think most people in our audience have heard of Joel Osteen and his church there in the Houston, Texas area. Lakewood Church has 45,000 people in the various services every Sunday. Well, yesterday, in the midst of between some of those services, I think it was early afternoon, it was a particular, I think, an Hispanic service was about to begin. A woman entered that church. She apparently had a long coat on, but underneath that, she had a gun. And she was proceeding to open fire on people. Fortunately, like many churches today, they have a security team there. And we can talk about that, the need for security at churches today.
Right.
But yesterday afternoon, Pastor Joel Osteen was part of a news conference to talk about what happened at that church. Cut number one.
You said it, Chief. It could have been a lot worse. Of course, we're devastated. I mean, we've been here 65 years and have somebody shooting in your church. But, you know, we don't understand why all these things happen, but we know God's in control. And we're going to pray for that little five-year-old boy and pray for the lady that was deceased, her family and all, and the other gentleman. But No, it's just kind of in a fog, but, you know, just believe that, you know, we're going to stay strong. We're going to continue to move forward. And there are forces of evil, but the forces that are for us, the forces of God are stronger than that. So we're going to keep going strong and just, you know, doing what God's called us to do, lift people up and give hope to the world. Again, I want to thank all these gentlemen because, You know, I can only imagine if it would have happened during the 11 o'clock service. We were in between services going into the Spanish service. So, you know, if there's anything good of it, you know what, she didn't get in there and do a whole lot worse damage. So we thank God for that. He's watching over all of us. And as the chief says, we're going to keep going strong and bringing hope to the world. But thank you again, gentlemen.
So, yes, the shooter was deceased. The team was the security team was able to bring her down fairly quickly before she could do much damage. But they're still searching for a motive. They simply do not know why at this point. What motivated her to take a gun and then to open fire?
And she brought a child with her.
She brought a child with her. So this is, you know,
that child is in critical condition.
Yeah. The speculation begins.
That's right.
That she had somebody, believed there was somebody at that service who she believed had done her wrong, you know, but that's just speculation at this point. There's so much that's unknown. But also, this story.
Is she a member or a consistent attendee, or do we know that?
We don't know that.
I could hardly find much information on her.
Right.
No, but it just points to the importance. We talked about this at our story meeting in the newsroom this morning. It's part of the age in which we live. I know our church here in Tupelo has security people. We did a little survey around the table. Almost every church represented in our newsroom.
The church that Wesley and I go to has
a security team. It's just part of the reality.
We have security here.
Yep.
This ministry has well-trained security because the world has changed. The world has changed even from 10 years ago, 20
yes.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taking us back just a little bit, when I first started, some of my first memories of coming up to AFA, my dad and I, we'd come up here at night, and I'm thinking I was probably 8 or 10 years old, somewhere in there. Remember coming up here and just dad walking out through the door after hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was unlocked because you didn't have to. We weren't concerned about
right.
that. Now, I remember around, 12, 13, 14, I remember coming up here after hours and you haven't unlocked the door. But during work hours, it
right.
was open. So, but that just shows you how far things have changed in 20 years that you can't. You have to think about these things.
Well, we
prepare
for years and years. I've been here 28 years. When we came here to work, we would all have devotion to start the day, and all the doors were unlocked.
That's it.
Yep. And the reason we started locking the doors is because one morning while we were in devotions, somebody came in and rifled through some of the ladies' purses mm-hmm. and stole some things, and we thought,
what?
Well, now we got to change that.
And then the shooting in at FRC's headquarters in Washington, D.C. about 10 years ago forced us to go, wait a minute, we went beyond just locking doors. Now we're having to badge in.
Yes.
We provided a security team. We began building out a security team for here. So you're right, things have changed a lot in the last 15 or 20 years, but I am very thankful for those officers who were – they were off-duty officers who were serving as a security team for them. And if I could say anything, if I could add anything else to this, is the importance of having a security team at your church.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing to do. Doesn't require just a whole lot of time, obviously during the service hours. I understand in most cases it's a volunteer effort, but please do it if you can.
And I know here and at our church, I'm probably the same thing is true for yours, Fred. All the people who are on the security team have enhanced carry permits, which means they've gone through extensive training. Ours train regularly
mm-hmm.
On situations. Our staff is prepped, not just for these kinds of events, but for tornadoes and mm-hmm. major storms, that kind of thing. So, folks, the world has changed. It's sad to see these kinds of things. And as soon as we find out, Fred, more information about the motivations, as far as I can remember, I can't remember a woman being a shooter.
I think you're right.
I think there always
seems
to be.
Huh? Nashville
but that
school
was,
shooting.
Was that a woman or was that a trans?
I forget. I didn't even mean to.
No, I'm just trying.
I think you're right. I think it was a boy that was wanting to be
yeah.
a girl. I don't know.
Anyway.
That does get confused. Hey, and I thought the pastor there,
Joel Osteen.
I thought he handled the interview very well.
Yes.
I was happy to see the way he handled that.
Right.
All right. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back in hospital. You know, a big story there around the end of December, early January. The world found out he was in hospital, and it turns right. out a lot of people at the Pentagon didn't know he was
or
at the
White
hospital.
House.
Or the White House.
Right.
But this time, he was taken by ambulance yesterday to the hospital. All that we know is, and I'm quoting here, an emergent bladder issue. That's all we know. He's in intensive care. But he did things right. When he went into the hospital, he had retained his functions and duties of the office. But about 5 o'clock last evening, he turned things over to his Deputy Secretary of Defense, Kathleen Hicks. And obviously the White House knows about this now. This morning on Fox and Friends, they talked with Dr. Nicole Sapphire on what's going on with Austin having to be readmitted to hospital. Obviously something serious going on here. Cut number 9.
We're 7 weeks after his surgery. And one of the most common things that we do see in post-prostatectomy patients, in about 30 to 50% of times, you can have incontinence. Usually you're not admitted for something like an incontinence. So my thoughts are maybe he has an infection as another complication. Maybe he needs to be inpatient to receive some IV antibiotics. I'm certain that they're going to probably be doing a CT scan. It does seem that he is, as I said, is having a very complicated course.
Yeah, you know, he's getting on in years. He was diagnosed first with prostate cancer, which is fairly common
right.
in men, you know, 40, 45 and over. But as Dr. Sapphire has said, perhaps some complications have evolved. But I found it interesting to call an ambulance to take him to the hospital, and his entourage obviously was with him. But be praying for the Defense Secretary Austin, and we hope it's nothing too serious and that he can recover. Although some people are saying, we're working on some reaction stories, that with this problem, perhaps it may be time for him to step aside and allow someone else, because I think there's a lot of concern, and we'll be talking about this a bit later. There's a concern from the president on down about health conditions
right.
of our leaders right now. And we're in a time, once again, certainly in this country and around the world, where we need people who mentally and physically are in very good shape to right. deal with what we're dealing with in this world right now.
If you combine his age at 70 with this health issue that he's got going on, I think that would be a wise move. Obviously, I hate to hear anybody going through these types of health issues, especially when you're trying to work and provide for your family. I will say, though, that with some of his health issues going on, who knows what – the direct cause, well, the doctors will find out the direct cause, but when you have as much chemo treatment as he's had, that could be some side effects from there. But yeah. obviously, like you said, our prayers are with Lloyd Austin and his family, because that's in the news right now, and especially, at least, kind of tongue-in-cheek here, at least he let people know.
Yes,
this time around. Yeah. I think hopefully he learned from his first yeah. time around. So,
Well, I will say this. Over the weekend, I watched the first hour of Tucker Carlson interviewing Vladimir Putin
mm-hmm.
Of Russia. And I don't want to open up that whole can of worms in the discussion. But one thing I did notice is that Putin spoke. It was over 2 hours, the interview. And he was fit. His mind was clear. He looked strong. I'm not saying I'm a Putin fan. The guy seems to be running
saying
a regime.
Appearance matter.
Yeah. like you're saying.
Yeah,
you
know, appearance matter.
You need, or Fred, you need people who can do the job that they're mm-hmm. assigned to do. And,
yes.
Of course, a great deal of concern in this country over Joe Biden. All right, folks, we're going to take a break here. I do want to say hi to Rusty and Beth Vanderver from Michigan. They are visiting and are listening. And after the break, Joseph Seidel will be talking about how God brought him through a time after a tornado wiped out his town. We'll be back with more. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chance at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so please be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. The captain should be back in the chair tomorrow. So I always like to think, guys, I'm sitting here, folks, if you're listening with Wesley Wildman and Fred Jackson, I always think of this as being like the USS Enterprise on Star Trek. You know, we're here. I have the comm today, but tomorrow Captain Kirk will be back.
And he will engage.
Yes, he will engage. So I guess that means I'm Spock. I don't.
Let's have a look at those ears.
Yes.
So if it's not back in the saddle for this analogy, what would it be? Back behind the ship? Is there a good one for this one?
Back. They just always said you have the comms.
Comms. There you go. Yeah. Back behind the comms.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. You're asking me. I'd have to go all the way back to the 60s for that one.
I won't make you do that on live radio.
I'm glad to go back to last week. All right, we want to welcome, by the way, you're listening to today's issues, and we have in studio with us Joseph Seidel. He and his wife, Vicky, and their son, Caleb, are here. Tim, in fact, invited them to come on down because of an email, a note that Joseph had sent to the ministry, talking about how God had been working in his life. And, of course, it was through American Family Radio, but, of course, we know we're just, as all Christians are, the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we wanted to invite Joseph down to talk about his story of going through an EF or tornado that struck his town. And so, Joseph, welcome to today's issues.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background and then lead into the story about how this tornado kind of changed not only your life, but the lives of a lot of people in your town.
Sure. So on December 10th of 2021, EF4 tornado, of course, came through about 160 approximate miles western Kentucky. My hometown is Mayfield, Kentucky. At that time, our emergency manager, I was also a volunteer firefighter. I was a lieutenant of internal affairs at the jail. We were put on standby for this tornado that was originally supposed to come our direction, and it shifted up towards Mayfield.
Okay.
At that time, that iconic photo, what I was saying earlier on the break, of the courthouse with the tower missing off of it, it actually fell on top to the jail. And when we responded, we had to evacuate about 92 people and get them somewhere within 2 hours.
And that's in the middle of a huge storm.
Correct. That was right in the center of it. So getting there was a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
About after the evacuation of the jail, we decided to go ahead and help the community, go door to door, see what we could. Half of our team broke up, went to the candle factory where we had some our coworker and some work release inmates. Shortly after that, when we were in a home, I got a phone call, said that one of our deputies was no longer with us.
Yeah.
He was a great man, Robert Daniel. He had managed to protect and keep alive 6 human beings. So
yeah.
I honor him. However, after that, AFR, you know, it really helped me out. I was a leader. I needed to show confidence. I didn't need to show any weakness. And I would listen to your radio station, and a lot of individuals here kept my spirit happy. I would take an hour in my office and I would listen to today's issues, and I would thank everybody. And, you know, it's nice to have good conservative Christian views, and that's hard to come by. And in a job like that, you know, they kind of restrict your belief. Unfortunately, that's the way this country is going.
Right.
So I sat there and I thought about it, and I decided to go ahead and follow God. And shortly after that, I had my son, Caleb. I focused more on my family. And I just want, you know, your sponsors and your listeners to know that the donations and the contributions that they give to American Family Radio not only helps people physically, but spiritually. So any little seed that somebody puts out there, they need to, they don't understand the value of that and the way it can change somebody's life.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did I understand that you got saved this, or did this, reinforce your faith?
It reinforced my faith.
That's what I thought.
It did. I was more open about it. You know, like I said, they kind of want to suppress you in companies and businesses right now, and I wasn't going to have it. I realized I need to go out and plant those seeds in my community and rebuild.
Amen. Do you remember if it was any one particular sermon or radio program, or was it just wall-to-wall having Christian, wall-to-wall or morning to afternoon having Christian content in front of you?
I can exactly tell you what it was, is the podcasts on the phone. It was the comfort that I had knowing that I could turn it on at any time.
Amen, yeah.
And just close my eyes and take myself out of that situation.
Amen. Yeah, well, hey, since you mentioned that, what he's talking about is on AFR.net, all of the podcasts are archived there so that you can listen to it at your convenience.
Right.
As opposed to what you're listening right now, which is live radio. We take the programs and archive them. In fact, we've gone a step further in the last 18 months. We begin to add programs on our podcast that we don't have room for on live radio. And so we've got a handful of extra.
Like Sandy Rios.
Sandy Rios is one.
Has a podcast.
That's right. And so, do you have something?
Well, yeah, Fred's got a question, but I also want to make mention of the fact that, that we do have an app, an AFR app, that you can download for your phone or other portable device, and you can access the same content. Some people don't have access to a terrestrial radio station or the internet. If they're driving, you can still listen to AFR on the app.
Joseph, your story just reminds us of the power of radio. I've been in radio now for over four decades, and I love the intimacy of radio. We're able to come into your office. We're able to come into your home.
That's a good point.
We're able to come into your car. And the story after story after story that we have heard through the years, that just at a particular moment when a person needed something, and very often it's the gospel message, that AFR is there.
Absolutely.
And so folks that are listening right now, we're coming up on our Share-a-thon just in a few weeks in the middle of April. Understand that you may never hear the stories
right
of what your contribution to American Family Radio is doing that has eternal values.
Absolutely.
There are values for the moment that, as you have been discussing, just at that moment, you needed the messages of American Family Radio. But, you know, folks, never underestimate how God can use your $10 gift, $50 gift, $100, whatever it is, for an eternal value in things. And your story is just another one of those stories of how God is using American Family Radio. And I just think that's what we want to hear, because that encourages us.
Right.
When we hear these stories, because we sit behind these microphones every day, we don't see people like yourself. And it's so good to have you in studio with us to tell us your story. So talk about that a little bit, about that power of radio, what it means to you.
Absolutely. Like you said, anywhere you go, you know, it can feel like you're right there with somebody. And I believe putting a positive message out to, especially, you know, you guys do not do this for recognition. I understand that. However, you know, a thank you and a compliment goes a long way. And I'm one of many stories. I guarantee you that. And you guys are saving lives. Like I said before, you are first responders. You are here. Saving a life every day, if you guys don't even realize it.
Well, thank you for that. Joseph, take 60 seconds and just encourage our listeners. You talked about being more bold and more open. Mm-hmm. That is so needed from the church in this day and age when a lot of people are self-censoring. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get into, you know, big arguments. But talk about how important it is for a Christian to be bold. You don't have to be obnoxious, mm-hmm. but to be bold and confident in telling people about the love of Jesus.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that anymore. Like I said, I have conservative Christian values, and I'm sure we could have probably an hour-long conversation about that. But I have a small child, and I see the way this world is going. And if we go into a restaurant and a movie, I will not support transgenderism. I will speak up against it. I will not be cruel. I will not be hateful. But I will stand firm and say, you know, Jesus is very clear on the message, and we will not stand behind that. And I really do think that people out there need to get out their bubble. There's a lot of people that are scared to come out and say, no, this is wrong. We don't meet and negotiate halfway. You stand your ground on what is right and what is wrong. And that's, if you're listening as a Christian, that's what we need to start doing to get this country back in order.
Because the other side's not negotiating.
No, sir.
They're coming out full bore. Mm-hmm. And I like the way you said it. We don't need to be cruel or harsh. We need to have compassion, but the other side shows no compassion. Mm-mm. And they're not making deals along the way. They are coercing and oppressing wherever they can. So the message of hope needs to come through loud and clear.
You're listening to AFR here, or you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. You got Joseph Seidel. He's in studio with us. He's a listener from the state of Kentucky, and he's sharing a little bit about his testimony. One of the things you just mentioned that really has been, I mean, like, I'm very passionate about right now is you mentioned your family. Mm-hmm. And I could talk about my family as well. I really love my family, and I really love my role as the husband, as a Christian dad in my family. You mentioned your son and how that was one more reason that you realized that you had to be more bold in your faith or be more outspoken about your faith. How do you see God's using the family in this country as a means of turning things back around?
So I think sometimes the realization on what's going on, you know, people want to talk about it's going south all the time. You've got to take a disaster and make it into something positive. Right now, I really think that we can, if we have faith and if we pray and we sit there and we think and we close our eyes and we go out there. And like you said, we're just bold and we take that initiative. We come out of our shell and stand our ground is the best way I can answer that question for you.
Amen. Well, the importance of the American family is something my papa, Don Wyman, recognized and realized many, many years ago, and which one of the main reasons that birthed what you're listening to now on AFR, and we support that. We're grateful to have you on the radio program to talk about how much you love your family and how much AFR has impacted your love for your family and love for the people around you.
Joseph, thank you for coming on with us and for being bold and for following Jesus and being a disciple in a way that we need multiplied tens of millions times over.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this country. But thank you for coming down from Kentucky and being with us and sharing your story.
I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. That's Joseph Seidel. He's here with his wife, Vicky, and their son, Caleb. And we look forward to be going out to lunch with them and hearing more about their story. And we know that there are stories, Fred, all over the country, people who listen to American Family Radio. And by the way, folks, we're not just saying American Family Radio.
Sure.
There are lots of ministries out there doing the work of Jesus and churches who are not compromising, who are standing up for the truth. And let me just tell you, the days of we do help other ministries here through American Family Radio. The days of protecting your own little kingdom, mm-hmm. and saying, no, we're not going to help anybody else out, those days are gone. They've evaporated in the fiery trials that are engulfing our nation. And we need the full expression of the body of Christ in our culture to, if possible, if God will smile upon our efforts, mm-hmm. Perhaps turn this country back around.
Well, a ministry, to speak to what you've addressed there, a ministry that most of our listeners are familiar with, 8 Days of Hope,
right,
was birthed on this campus.
Amen.
Many, many years ago. And look what, and Steve Tiber, who heads that ministry, will tell you, he never dreamed of what God was going to do with that first donation that came from your grandfather. Yeah. And got it started, and look what it is doing today.
Yes.
It has gone beyond helping communities in disasters caused by bad weather. Now we're involved with rescuing kids who are being trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, none of us dreamed that this was going to happen, but this is where God takes a willing heart.
Amen.
And your mention of churches out there. Churches are doing the same. There are many churches, good churches out there, that are doing the same thing, making people aware of what's going on out there and getting families ready to do the task of taking on the evil that's out there, knowing all the time God is in control and that Jesus is going to set up his throne someday. But in the meantime, we have to be busy about being that salt and light wherever God has put you. And whether it's managing a jail or whether it's being in a police car or whether it's teaching in a classroom or being on the radio, that's where God has you. And I think it's an honor for all of us right now. God has chosen us to be alive at this point in the history of mankind.
Amen.
And what a privilege we have to be here, to be that ring the alarm, but point people to a solution.
Yep.
It's not just about something bad's happening out there. We also say, here's the solution, folks.
Yeah, many times when we get frustrated or things aren't going our way, Satan will tempt us to make God the problem, when I've always said that God's not the problem, he's the solution to the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Speaking about leadership, we know that everything rises and falls on leadership. And Mayorkas, he's obviously the leader at the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, and he is not leading very well, which has led to his potential, well, it failed by a couple votes. He was potentially going to be impeached, but
there's another vote tomorrow. But Wesley and Ed, he has told congressional hearings under oath that the border is secure.
Good to go.
Under oath. Even though we were seeing we were seeing all these people coming in, like close to 6 million now, but he was telling us it was secure. But it's election year, and they've had to change the narrative.
Right.
And now, President Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the Homeland Secretary, they're now saying there is a problem, but it's not our fault.
Right.
It's the fault of those Republicans in Congress. They just not will correct the problem. And he repeated that this weekend. Cut number 10.
It certainly is a crisis, and we don't bear responsibility for a broken system, and we're doing a tremendous amount within that broken system. But fundamentally, Congress is the only one who can fix it. There is no question that we have a challenge, a crisis at the border, and there is no question that Congress needs to fix it, and we're doing everything we can within that broken system.
Well, no, he was either lying over the last 3 years when he said, no problem,
everything's
no
good.
Problem. And now he's saying there's a crisis.
No, listen, I'm like millions of other Americans, and I'm just going to say on both sides, that are tired of the lies, because this man is lying through his teeth. This is, they said for 3 years, he said, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, he said, no, the border's fine. Everything's fine. It's secure. No problems. Well, what happened was conservative governors started sending thousands of these illegal immigrants to the sanctuary cities of blue states, and they began to feel the overwhelming needs that presented on their communities. They started complaining to the Biden administration. Everyone else started complaining about this problem to the Biden administration. Election year rolls around. Joe Biden says a couple of weeks ago, he says it's broken. Now Mayorkas is saying it's broken. But hey, it's not our fault.
Mm.
It's Congress's fault, or the old bugaboo, it's Donald Trump's fault. Everything is Trump's fault, even though he was the one person demanding that border be made secure. They're saying it's his fault. Wesley, it's part of this problem is that the government, Congress, loses legitimacy in the eyes of the people. The White House, this current administration, loses legitimacy in the eyes of the American people when they hear these back and forth lies. You can't get a straight answer out of anyone.
No, you can't. And there's so many layers here to why he would say that. Obviously, we've mentioned on the program before, and we believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution gives the president authority to shut down the border if there is a crisis. They don't need the Republicans or Democrats. They don't need from a national security standpoint, which is where we're at with the border. By the way, the numbers are upwards. Ted Cruz and his crew, and they're saying upwards to between 8 and 10 million now.
Right.
So they don't need help. The president of the United States doesn't need help, nor does Mayorkas. And Mayorkas should be counseling Biden. Biden should also agree. You would think the president of the United States would have an issue with people coming across the border at this rate as a problem. Nonetheless, they should be working together on fixing the problem, not waiting around. However, I say that to say one of the reasons why they're blaming the Republicans is because they wanted to pass the bill, the border bill, which it says border bill, but two-thirds of it was funding other wars across the world.
Right.
And they wanted that money. Yeah, that's the reason. That's the main reason Mayorkas and President Biden wants to put the blame back on the Republicans so that they can get funding. That's an easy line to trace.
Yes.
But to your point, coming back full circle to Mayorkas and his ability to just lie right through his teeth.
Yeah.
Where I was laughing as that was going on at this, I think there's times in history that lying works for the opponent. And you go, man, that's not fair. They're lying, but it works.
Right.
I don't think this one's going to work.
Right.
I think it's too big of a problem. And you're getting slip-ups. I say slip-ups, or maybe they just believe it. But you're getting Democrats and other in these sanctuary cities and these border states. You got even local mayors and local elective officials that are Democrats that are now also saying, now they don't necessarily agree with the solution, but they're agreeing with us that this is a problem.
Right.
And so that there's just no way around the this is a major disaster self-imposed by President Biden when he took all of the executive orders that helped not perfectly fix but helped this problem, and when he wrote them off or undid them, then that's a major
yeah,
problem.
And plus he invited this surge.
Yep.
And as your dad says, as Tim Wildman frequently says, this looks like a problem at the border unless you're wanting millions of people to come in.
That's right.
To become permanent, part of the permanent Democratic Party voting bloc.
Yep.
And that's what it looks like. The Biden administration initially set out to do was to welcome millions of new voters who would vote Democrat.
I think that's one option, and I think equally too, they want to break the economic and the healthcare system too as well.
Yeah.
Because if you can break it, then you can fix it with more money, right?
Yes, that's right. All right, Fred, we're just about out of time. You got anything short you can toss in, or?
Well, some good news out of the Middle East: the Israeli forces that are in Gaza were able to rescue two more hostages this morning. Israel has pushed down into southern Gaza. The bad side of all of this is that the support that was so strong initially after that October 7th massacre, the support from Washington was very strong. It is waning, and was very, very troubled by something that President Biden said late last week, that he described Israel's efforts as being over the top. And I get very concerned. Because the history has shown countries who turn their back on Israel
right.
do not do well.
Right.
And you can go back to Genesis chapter 12 on that
right.
and what God's word says. So be praying. Israel has almost the world against it.
And yeah, I think the Dutch have said they're not going to sell spare parts for the F-35s. Is that right?
The Dutch court ruled that this morning, too. So be praying for Israel, pray for the resolve. Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be resolved that Hamas must be destroyed, or else they'll just reform and we'll go through all of this again.
All right. All right, thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, we are going to take a five-minute break for news. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. After the five-minute break for news, Steve Jordahl, Steve Paisley Jordahl, will be in to help us discuss more of what's happening both here and abroad. Continue to pray for our country. Our country is sick, basically from head to toe. We need a great awakening. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.